Happy 1 year on 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
Happy 1 year!
That was a lot better than the other time we tried to do that.
Actually, that was good. We had practice.
Yeah.
And how long have you been doing editing, Katie?
525,600 minutes.
And more.
It's been less or more. Who knows?
It's been more.
Who knows? We have episode 54 and there's 52 weeks in a year and math is hard.
Divide by the numerator, square root of 7.
We're not sure, but we got here. So
Kate,
we're here.
This is the longest thing that we have committed to as a partnership.
Yeah. Besides like being in the same family, I guess.
Besides being sisters.
Yes.
And you always talk about yourself about being a commitment phobe.
Yes.
And I don't think you can say that anymore, because I think this proves you can commit when it's worth the time, and this is worth the time.
That's true. If it's worth my time, most things are not, so.
Oh my god, wouldn't that be awesome if, like, to date you, they have to answer, like, 3 movie trivia questions, and you're like, moving on.
And I'm like, they're just questions about our podcast, and they're like, what? I'm like, that's right, give me the listens, okay?
You're like, in episode blah 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 for the sister act, what did I say when Bridget said?
I actually, like, very seriously considered giving you some little trivia questions about us, but then I blacked out and I didn't do it.
I remember half the movies. If you asked me to do our movies and list out 54 movies, I think I'd forget.
Yeah. I'll ask you this one question, because I did think of this and this is funny. There is only one episode of ours that we have released where we do not have a cold open. Which episode is that?
I think it was more recent than, like, really early. I want to say, like, Girl Interrupted.
Nope.
Damn. See? What?
It was Lake Placid with Dad, because we didn't know okay. how to do it with Dad in there. So we were like, oh, well, we'll just start the episode. That's better than whatever. So.
Sisters. Sisters who've seen it. We are the sisters, sisters who've seen it. Sisters, shooby-dooby-doo-wop, sisters, shooby-dooby-doo-wop, sisters, 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 sisters who've seen it.
Hello.
Hi there.
Welcome back, listeners, to our very special
1 year.
We didn't practice that one. Okay, it's all right. Oh, I like that. That's good. That's good. I was trying to do the duck quack.
Ducks.
Oh my god, so many things. Listeners, this is a very exciting episode for us. It's been 1 year. I think it's technically maybe a little over a year, but whatever. We don't care. It's 1 year for us, and we picked a really good movie for this episode, and it was very purposeful.
Yeah.
So if you have been a fan of ours and listening up until this point, you have probably heard this movie being referenced. Oh, but you know what? Sometimes you podcast for a year and you forget to introduce yourself. So I'm gonna do that first. We don't have a script. We just, you know, can you tell? Okay. All right. So let me introduce ourselves. Listeners, we are the Sisters Who've Seen It, the podcast where two sisters who are not movie critics look back on some of our favorites throughout the years through a psychological, ethical, and familial lens. I'm Katie.
I'm Bridget.
And we're doing D2 the Mighty Ducks! I couldn't hold it in anymore. Whew. Had to fly out of me. When the wind's at your back.
Ducks fly together. Oh,
and the
it.
Stars are doing something. Ducks fly together.
And when the cows are coming home at the pasture.
This freaking movie, I can't.
This movie, okay, it cannot be made the same way it was made in 1994.
No.
Because it is
definitely not
terribly stereotyping people from different regions of the United States.
It was literally, like, you know what it reminded me of? Way back to episode 3, which was almost a year ago, 10 Things I Hate About You, where they have that opening where they're like, here's all the different groups, and they're like, there's the cowboys! boys, there's the coffee drink. I was like, oh, this is just like that. Oh, no.
Well, and Dwayne was from Austin, Texas. And I'm like, dude, oh, yeah. Hipsters live in Austin, Texas.
Sure
now.
Do.
Going to, like, concerts. What?
Yeah.
Ugh. But, Kate, we need to start this off like we always do. And I'm going to pass this to you with a synopsis. And I expect this to be 20 minutes long.
Yep, that's
I think that's totally acceptable because it's a year. We make up our own rules. Do whatever you want. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. Well, we're back in 1994. And just like the first movie, listeners, we start off with a flashback. But thank God this flashback didn't have as much trauma. All right. So we've got a little flashback. It's Gordon and his dad. It's pretty much the same scenes from the first movie that we recycled, so that's all right. That kid probably was, like going through puberty in real life, and they're like, never mind, we'll just get you when you were 7 with a scarf on, whatever. Okay. From there, it immediately switches to a, I guess it's not a flashback, I guess it's technically in real time. You see Gordon Bombay, Emilio Estevez, hashtag Emilio. And he is in his, I don't know if it's supposed to be professional hockey, or if it's minor league, or I'm not really sure what it was supposed to
minor
be.
Minor league.
It was a minor? Yeah. Okay. So he's playing in the minor leagues, and there is a very dramatic, because, you know, we like our drama in the Mighty Ducks series, a very dramatic double slam into the glass, and then I guess he hurts his leg, right? And then he's like, now I'm done, and they're like, wow! Just like when he was 7, what a loser! They don't say that, but it's implied. Also, did you hear how old Gordon Bombay is supposed to be? Because I literally fell out of my chair. I fell out of my chair.
I could only type a certain size on my phone, and if I could enlarge his age because of the dramatic number, but I think we should get there, Kate. I think we should get there after your synopsis, because I want to spend time on that.
Okay, we'll hold that little secret till the end if y'all missed it, but it's gonna be really hard for me to hold that in, because the next scene, he's walking with a cane, and wait till you hear how old he is, everyone. Oh my god. It's sad and rainy, and I guess Gordon is kicked out of his hockey team now, because he got ran into, which probably happens in every game, but this one was bad, so he's out. So he goes home, he's in the rain. He doesn't even have a car, by the way. Pretty sure he could afford a car. Takes the bus, then he literally stands in the rain, and no one's there, but don't worry! Who rolls up? I thought it was Hans, but it's not Hans. I literally wrote, oh my god, Hans, get out of here. Hug it out. And then I go, oh my god, what the fuck? This isn't Hans. What?
And what's his name, kid?
His name is Jans. I cannot.
Katie, that would be like if I was like, hey guys, we're going to continue Sisters Who've Seen It with our other sister, Schmady.
And he literally looks the same.
Oh, it's like, Hans. It's literally Hans.
Like, they could have just like tried to pretend it was the same person. I don't think anyone would have known the difference. So I don't understand why. He gives us some nonsense about it. He goes, Hans went back to the old country, which we don't know where that is. So bye. God.
That's another subplot we have to spend some time on, because I'm crying of laughter at how stupid it is.
Fucking yawns. I cannot. Okay. So don't worry. That's weird. And now we have a new Hans. His name is Jans. Hans Jans. But right away then, we get to see Charlie.
I don't want to wait for
him. So that's a Dawson's Creek reference. Take a sip. And Charlie is now I feel like these kids were all maybe like 13, 14 in that range. Yeah. Well, except for Dean, but we'll talk about Dean because Dean shouldn't be in grad school, but it's fine. So Charlie's there. Charlie's like, hey there, I work for Jans, who is not Hans, but it's the exact same place that Hans was at. And he does the same job as Hans. Are we sure this isn't actually Hans and he's trying to do like some insurance scam, like a life insurance where he's like, no, Hans died. I'm his brother, Jans, and I was on the insurance, so I should get the payout, because that, I think, is maybe what's happening. All right, so we see Charlie, and then there's horrible, more horrible exposition transition, because I will say, though, I'm very glad they wrote this character out of the sequel. Charlie's mom, bye-bye.
Thank God.
Somebody says something real quick where they're like, you know, Charlie's mom remarried, and now Charlie's sad, and he has to stay here with me in the ice skating factory, and I'm like, this seems okay. So mom's gone, and right away Jans is like, yo, Gordon, what are you gonna do with your life? You're such a loser now, you can't play hockey. And Gordon's like, I don't know, what should I do? And he's like, why don't you go work for Mr. Ducksworth? And he's like, no, he's the worst. And so you're like, thank God, we don't have to deal with any stupid lawyers, so that's another positive change. And then Jans is like, yo, you should be a peewee professional hockey coach. And then Gordon's like, no, that's dumb. But then I think in the next scene, Gordon then does that.
So. Hold on. I gotta edit this. Okay. So he's like, you should be a coach. And Gordon is thinking a peewee coach that doesn't really like pay a living wage. And he was like, for Team USA. And he was like, oh, I'm not qualified. That's an actual like bigger salary.
Oh, he didn't think he was qualified.
Which I'm just like, what has happened? Continue.
So then, you know, we meet Don Tibbles. Did I hear that correctly? Okay. Don Tibbles.
Mr. Tibbles.
Really good naming in this movie, I gotta say. He's like, Gordon, I want you to be the coach. And then Jan is like, this is all part of my plan. Yep. And so then Gordon's like, cool, but on one condition, I want all my children to be on the team. He doesn't say that, but I'm gonna say it's implied, because like, why are there no tryouts? We're just like putting children on a random team and there's no tryout. This is important, right? This is like the Olympics for children. Like, what's happening? I don't know. Whatever. We get the Mighty Ducks team. No tryouts are needed. They're the best. So then you get to see the really fun scene of all the children getting rounded up again. And don't worry, because Charlie's like, yo, I'm gonna round him up. Yo, I'm wearing my Ducks jersey. And Charlie roller skates through a mall. Amazing. So we got Jesse, who comes back, and I don't know what he's doing, but he's doing something. Then they're roller skating through the mall. Then they get Averman, who is working at a movie theater. Did you see that?
Katie, you used to work in a movie theater.
I did used to work in a movie theater. And now part of me is like, should we hunt down the actor who played Averman and get him to be a guest star? Because
stop it. I dream of
I'm
that.
I'm just saying. He probably has his own podcast already, honestly, because that guy can talk.
Woo! Yes.
So he abandons his job immediately because ducks fly together in the mall, y'all.
Yep. He also happened to have roller skates at work, but
he did. Don't, you know what? It's okay. We're not going to question it. We're going to roll with it. So they go to get Connie, and Connie is about to make out with someone who then I realized was on the team as well. What is that guy's name? I never wrote it down. What is it?
Gee.
Like
Gee, like Gee, yeah, like Geek, but without a K.
That's a horrible name. I wonder I didn't remember. I thought that was funny, though, because Connie immediately is like, bye, and she, like, leaves, but they're both going to the same place, but she's like, thank God I get to roller skate away. And then they get Goldberg! Goldberg also quits his job and has roller skates at the deli, so it's all fine. Then I thought we were on a college campus, and this is where I thought we would find Fulton, but no, we're just getting Banks. Banks is, like, sad and alone in his driveway, like, wow, what was me, hockey? And they're like, let's do hockey. And he's like, yeah. And then there's some of the evil kids who I think were actually from the last movie, because I recognize the one.
Yep.
And they're like, those ducks ruined our peewee lives. So we're going to do a hazing on them. And then Fulton and his puberty comes in and he thwarts it just like the first movie. But we still love it.
Okay, I'm going to pause you. If you literally go scene by scene, we will not have anything to say.
I'm sorry.
You're literally going scene by scene.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go really quick. So then, okay, now they're on the team and they're like, okay, now we're going to get some new kids. And this was where we have what I wrote as lineup for diversity / stereotypes, because they are both.
And was it really that diverse? Are we kidding?
No, it really wasn't.
Yeah, no.
They were like continentally diverse. No, not even. They were just like, I don't know. It was weird. And some of them like weren't that talented. So I was confused like why we got them. Like the one kid couldn't even like stop when he was skating. I'm like, this is the cream of the crop, this guy,
literally.
That's me, because that's me on the ice. Like, I could be on this team.
Somebody printed out the map of the U.S. did a big X and was like, we need one person from the Northeast, one Northwest, the South, the Midwest, and we'll just make up what their character does, which is so random.
Yeah. So we get these new kids added, which actually is fun. I kind of like how they did this because you just get more personalities and they're like, all right, let's practice. And, you know, as per usual, the Ducks are not great. And Gordon's like, what the? Nobody practiced? And they're like, it was the off season. And Gordon's like, oh, yeah. And then somehow they're great, though. So don't worry. It's fine. Then they get really awesome and whatever. The kids are also getting all these weird sponsors because Mr. Tibbles is, I guess, like with a company and they're like, you're going to be in a Wheaties box. And Gordon, you're going to get paid all this money. And Gordon, you go to all these like shoots and press conferences and blah, blah. So that's like kind of a whole subplot where basically like Gordon, where he's kind of starts to get like greedy, I guess, is how they're trying to portray him. Where he's starting to like care only about like winning. It's not about fun anymore. It's just about winning and sponsors and blah, blah. So there's a whole thing with that. But really, what I would consider the main conflict is this Iceland team. Wow! And the guy who is the coach of the Iceland team is called Wolf the Dentist Stanton. And then someone's like, why is he a dentist? And then someone else goes, he only played in the NHL for 1 year, but he knocked out a lot of teeth. So he's a dentist. I was like, why do we know a guy who only played for 1 year? That sounds like a waste of your mind space. I feel like there's more important people to know than that guy. So he's Soup's evil, and he basically is taking place of the evil coach from the first movie, but he doesn't have a relationship with Gordon. So it's a little weird why we have such a vendetta, but we do. But we get to see the kids. Basically, they play a bunch of teams and they do really well. And then they do lose against Iceland. They lose one game against them, but then they get another chance because they've been doing great. There's the whole conflict where kids are like, ugh, Coach Bombay, you are like just so greedy and you don't care and you're yelling at us. And then there's like that conflict. And then Gordon gets a motivational speech from Jans, not Hans. And it's pretty similar to the speech that Hans made, which leads me to continue my belief that this is Hans disguising as a man named Jans. And he's like, Gordon, you used to love the game. It's all for the love of the game. Get the kids back in for the love of the game. So he's like, all right, great. So they do that. And then we somehow get to the final game against Iceland. And the kids like literally got destroyed by them the first time. And they still kind of gets destroyed in the beginning. And then they get a really cool motivational speech that I think Bridget might know all the words to because you've quoted it a couple times in previous episodes. But it basically gets the kids back on track. And you know what? Even though they're Team USA, they get to wear their Ducks jerseys. And I guess that's fine. And then at the end, we have kind of a similar shootout, but they did it differently, which I appreciated. And Ducks win because Ducks fly together.
Ducks fly together.
Ducks fly together. And then they sing We Are the Champions in the credits. And I love that. That's really cute. Ooh. Ooh. And there's some, yeah, there's a lot of other stuff, but I couldn't go scene by scene, y'all. So sorry. Thanks. If I had a duck whistle, I'd quack it right now.
Wow. I think I didn't have to speak the rest of the episode, and you could just do it with the synopsis, and that is our 1 year, is you're no! just doing the longest, because I was laughing so hard I couldn't breathe. There are so many hilarious things in this movie, and I think because it's in the beginning, we have to talk about Gordon's age, because oh we God. Get right into it. So
oh my God.
The number is, Kate?
29! This is younger than me!
Let's take a backstory into our episode of Mighty Ducks, the first one, which, based on this movie, is only a year later, because they say, like, I can't believe they beat us last season, so we had a year. True. So he yes. was a coach at 28. At 28, he was a rock star lawyer, which, if we do the math on actually, like, getting out of law school, you probably have only been out of law school for, like, 2 years.
Yeah.
His top lawyer also gets a DUI.
Sure does!
Also is like just a terrible all-around person and gets paid to do this job because Ducksworth wanted to make sure that, you know, he was taken care of. He then tries to do the minor league and he is back to being a peewee hockey at 29 and honestly has lived more lives by the age of 29 than I think anyone I've ever met in my life.
Well, and he also dated like Charlie's mom, so I'm like, yo, like, she's not 28.
Dude, like, now, dude, she's like 40!
I was like, what? What is going on here?
I literally thought he was 40 years old.
So did I! Like, he didn't need to be 29. He could have been, like, more normal age. I don't understand.
And then to your point, he's in the minor leagues playing hockey, doing well, and they say he's kind of up for the pros, okay? So if you're 29, you've been doing hockey at that level for a year, and you hurt your leg, whatever it was. And
I don't even know.
No context. You don't end your career, because we see you later in the movie, like, being a rock star at hockey again.
I know! I was like, where's your cane, Gordon? Because you lost that pretty quickly, so I'm not really sure why we had a cane.
Well, and if you're 29, your body is young, you will heal and go back to playing in the game. Why did he have to quit his entire dream? Like, that was so weak.
Yeah.
Like, they knew, they were like, somebody in the room was like, okay, we gotta get him back to the Ducks because we sent him away to the leagues, but, you know, we can't make it like a life-ending injury because that's like too depressing. Like, I had no idea what the thought process was.
It's funny, too, because you clearly could tell, like, all of the children are, like, way older. Like,
oh, I
they're
know.
Little babies, and now they're, like, teenagers, or, like, young teenagers, but...
when the bus pulls up, I was like, this is so dramatic, this is the same bus he got on, and,
oh
like,
God.
Literally off in the rain, because he's sad, and rain represents depression.
And no one's there, and everyone was there when he got on. Oh, my God, the metaphors!
And in the alternate universe, we quickly get introduced to who I've been crying laughing, Jans, who is not Hans. You think it's Hans, but it's Jans.
This is not my Hans. Hashtag not my Hans. What's happening?
Like, did somebody say people are gonna tell it's not Hans?
Because I didn't know. I didn't know. I thought it was the same guy. Same exact one. Would have never known. You guys could have got away with it. Like, we're starting a new life, but really it's the same life, and that seems counterintuitive to that plan. So I don't about it.
So, like, and you're right. Like, he takes over his job in the same place. I can't. And the fact that he's like, Gordon, I've been waiting for the day that you get this injury because I've been talking to Mr. Tibbles to get you this Team USA job. And Gordon, who really just gets everything handed to him in his 29-year-old life, is like,
yeah.
What? Me? I'm not qualified. And then Mr. Tibbles, he's like, hi, Mr. Tibbles, here's $1 million.
Oh my God. And that guy was like so Weasley. I was like, great casting.
Oh,
but
that was
it.
Good casting.
And that's where Gordon first uses the duck whistle. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure you never used the duck whistle in the first movie, but somehow all the children know what the duck whistle means. So I have questions about that. Because Charlie's like, ah, duck whistle. I'm already wearing my Ducks jersey under my shirt. Let's do it. I'm like, Charlie. Oh no. Poor guy.
Charlie literally is just like, first it was Hans. Hans left me. Then it was Jans. You know, then my coach, Gordon Bombay, left me. And then, like, my mom remarried. And then that guy left me. And now I live at home. And I heard the duck whistle. So I'll finally have a dad. You're like, Charlie.
It's so sad.
Oh my God.
I do love that, like, slew of scenes where they're just getting all the kids back together. I'm like, this is so fun. It's just so fun.
The best line is from Averman when he's like, the quack attack is back, Jack.
That's the best line.
Honestly, Averman deserves more credit because Anyone else trying to say his lines wouldn't pull it off, and he somehow does.
We need him on the podcast. Averman, are you listening? We love you. Come here.
Seriously.
Come.
Love him. I was like, dude, Averman is the best.
Yeah.
Okay, part of the magic, I think, of this movie is they've accepted, like, we're gonna do, like, a B story. Like, we're not gonna go for, like, the A-plus story, but we're gonna give you what you love, which is, like, montages.
Yes.
Rollerblading through the mall.
Yes. Funny one-liners.
Funny one-liners. Like, everyone kind of hating Gordon, but then, like, him coming back because, like, we need the Gordon arc. And then, like, okay, we can't get you Hans, but we can get you Jans. You know, like, they took the same movie and they just, like, okay, the things that weren't that important, let's just, like, up it. But the rollerblading made me laugh as they rounded up their team, that everybody was like, you know what? I'm doing nothing right now. I have a job. I'll quit it. I'm totally at, like, my own house and I could have to do things today, but don't worry, the Ducks call and I'm there.
Connie's like, I could make out with this scrub, but I'm cool. My name is Connie, so I'm literally gonna rollerblade away as fast as I can. And the guy's like, wait.
She's freaking awesome.
She's so cool. We love Connie.
She is the best.
And then, okay, we get Goldberg.
Goldberg!
And then that's where you see Fulton, and I swear to God, Bridge, this is what I wrote, because it's like, you see the evil kids and they're like, ha ha! yeah, we're gonna get those ducks because this is all we've thought about for the past year. We have nothing better happening in our lives. And then you don't see Fulton right away. You hear his voice and he's like, hey guys. And it's like really deep, so like a deep. Man.
So
and
deep.
I knew it was Fulton, but I was like, he's going through puberty. And then he like beats up the guys. But then he like didn't go through puberty and he talks normal. What are you doing? You're just talking in scary voices?
I don't know, but Fulton's sole job is to wait around for bullies to beat up Charlie and his friends and then protect them. And like, I think Fulton could be like in another world, like the Spider-Man for like the community, because all he does is come in and like save them. Am I right? Am I right?
Yo, definitely. He'd be a good Spider-Man, especially with that slap shot. Wow.
Oh my God, that could be part of his power.
That'd be so good. I love it. And then literally the kids all get together, and then the next scene is pretty much, well, Gordon like signs his contract or something. He's like, oh, I'm in a limo.
Like the first movie showed how like terrible Gordon was and how his arc of how he got better. And so they're like, okay, like we kind of feel bad for Gordon because like he wanted to go to the pros, he hurt his leg, and now he's like just like trying to figure it out. So they had to like add in a little evil side salt plot. And this was the, we're going to pay you tons of money to be the Pee Wee Team USA hockey coach. And I'm just going to tell you right now, if anybody listening is an actual Pee Wee Team USA hockey coach, I'm assuming you're not making that much money, because
I was going to say, where does this money come from? Is this our taxpayer dollars paying for Gordon's mansion? Because what?
Well, that's like a whole, especially because the Olympics are coming, and honestly, Kate, it's my favorite time ever.
Yeah.
It is such a fascinating, especially in the U.S., that a lot of these Olympians have to fund their own way, that are incredible, that are like gold medalists, have to literally like raise all this money. They can barely like work because they have to train. And here we have Gordon Bombay getting in a limo, and Mr. Tibbles is like, he made it assume he was getting like $1 million.
Exactly.
We're living in make-believe for Mighty Ducks 2, and we all don't care because we're ready to see the crew.
We're ready to see the crew because the next scene is our diversity stereotype lineup narrated by Mr. Tibbles. Did anyone ask for this? We didn't, but we love it.
That is Luis Mendoza. He's from where, Katie?
Miami?
Yes.
Is he Miami, Florida? Okay. Yes.
And to your earlier point, the U.S. is one of the largest countries to pull a giant pool of the best Kiwi hockey players, and we picked a guy that doesn't know how to stop.
He doesn't know how to stop! That's me! They're like, but he's so fast. I'm like, but then he slams into a wall, so what is the point? I don't understand. Like, that makes no sense. Who nominated him, Mr. Tibbles?
I don't know.
What are we doing?
I don't know. I was like, okay. And then we get to, which I think this is how anyone that just thinks of the U.S. but knows nothing about the U.S., I think they all think that we're Dwayne Robinson.
From Texas.
Dude, a great drinking game is to watch Mighty Ducks 2 and drink every time Dwayne says yeehaw.
Yeah, you'd be dead. You'd be dead immediately.
Like 40
he
times.
Says it right away. Wait, but then this is what Mr. Tibbles says. He goes, Dwayne's a really good puck handler, and he's just like hitting the puck on the stick up and down, which I think is illegal in hockey. I don't know much about hockey, but I feel like that's not allowed. And then Gordon's like, you mean the best for his age, right? And Mr. Tibbles is like, no.
And honestly, like, he proceeds to be one of the worst players in all of the games. He misses the final shootout shot. He gets crushed by Iceland multiple times.
He gets thrown in the penalty box because he lassos a guy. People don't forget.
Like,
people don't forget.
And then, who do we go to next, Kate?
Julie. And I wrote, in quotation marks, the cat.
Meow.
This is like 10 things I hate about you. Where I'm like, cat? By Julia Stiles. What's happening? She's a goalie. And then Gordon immediately is like, we already have a goalie. It's Goldberg. And he turns around and Goldberg's like, like Goldberg like falls on his butt or something. And then he's like, well, maybe we could use another. I'm like, oh my God, guys, what are we doing?
Well, and she got screwed in this whole thing.
Yo, she totally did.
She was 10 times better than Goldberg.
Definitely was.
Especially in their loss to Iceland, the first one, where they lost by 12 goals.
Embarrassing.
Julie the Cat Gaffney kicked it in there.
They did try to put her in. Wasn't that the game they tried to put her in, but she got kicked out immediately?
Right. That's right. Never mind. That's right. Oh my God. Okay. Then we get to, there's one scene where they scream this guy's last name. And who is it, Kate?
Kenny. Whoa!
Woo, 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 Kenny, woo! Woo, woo,
woo. I wrote that. I was like, yes! Kenny Woo is literally a carbon copy of Tammy from movie one, who we snipped off the team
what
and unceremoniously never spoke about.
To Tammy and Pete and Pete, they got kicked
Tammy
out.
Tammy and Tommy are not invited to the USA team, and neither was that little kid who wore the leather jacket all the time.
He did not get invited. No, no, no. No.
Not invited. So we have a new figure skater, and then Gordon's like, how did you get an Olympic child figure skater to be on this team? And Mr. Tibbles goes, I just told him hockey was more fun.
I don't think he had fun. I'm going to be honest with you.
He got beat up.
He got hit on the ground so much that a bunch of kids from Compton had to teach him to stick up for himself.
Yes, which is an awesome subplot addition to this movie. So thank God we had that.
And then, Kate, who do we end with?
Oh my God, the best one ever. F***ing Dean! Dean Porter? Portman?
Portman.
Okay.
And you know where he's from, Kate?
Chicago! I know, I wrote that. I was like, oh my God, he's from Chicago, Bridget. Okay, he is the best introduction because he's literally, I think he's older than Gordon. Gordon is somehow 29. This guy is like 32 minimum because he is so tall and so large. And he comes out like listening to music and he's like singing. He's like, you know. And he just is running into people. And like, we never learn his skill. Like, we're all like, what's his skill?
I think he like beats people up. That's like his skill.
He was really great at that. And I'm not gonna lie, he was one, I mean, the Bash Brothers collectively is my favorite, but he obviously is part of that. So I also think I like him a lot because he really reminded me of Bear, who is my 115-pound Rottweiler, because he was very friendly and doofy. He never really like was sad. Like, he was always like looking on the bright side, but he was also really clumsy because he's gigantic and he steps on your toes a lot and hurts. But he doesn't mean it. And he'll defend you if you need it. That's why I was like, are you my dog? What's going on? Oh my God.
I just want to see a meme of your dog and Dean Porter and then you like having a little heart in the middle. Then everyone just accepts that they're the mediocre people to represent Team USA.
Pretty much.
And we also get introduced to Michelle McKay. Michelle McKay.
Oh my God, Bridget?
I talk like this.
Where's Coach Bombay? She talked like this. I was like, what is this accent? What is this? She was the worst.
There is a scene we will get to that I'm like... This is terrible.
Yeah.
They have to have a tutor, which, okay, so all of their parents have decided, you didn't have to try out for Team USA. Now you're going to not go to school, be taught by some random lady.
Yeah, and... in a field, by the way. We're not going to go to an actual classroom. Hope you have sunscreen, because we're out there.
Literally. But to your point of your earlier synopsis, right away we learn that they're pretty bad.
The Ducks are real bad.
And Gordon has to then... do all of his coaching tricks. This is different than the first movie, is they actually then practice for these games.
They do.
Where the first season, it was just like, well, nice to meet you. The next game's tomorrow.
Yeah, it's right now. Get ready. He does the thing where he ties all the children together in a big blob, and he's like, y'all are gonna skate together. And then there's the one scene where someone smells a fart, and they're all like, Goldberg! And Goldberg goes, it wasn't me! And Dean goes, no, it was me! And he holds his hands up. And again, I was like, is this my dog?
I know that I'm too old to be laughing at fart jokes, but I laugh so hard when he was like, no, it was me.
And he's so proud of it. It's so funny.
Anybody, if you're in a position where you fart, okay, and somebody else they blame it on, and you're going to be mean and let them blame it on that person, I want you to proudly stand up like Dean Portman and announce that it was you.
Two fists in the air with a proud look on your face. It was me. So awesome. awesome. Everyone was just always in good spirits. I feel like that was another positive to this movie.
Oh, they really were. And then Gordon, because the evil contract money hasn't gotten to his character yet, is like, hockey's all about fun, fun, fun. And then Dwayne's like, well, yeehaw, here's my part of the movie. And they start off by roping each other.
Yeah. What? Which I gotta say, though, I feel like if I was a kid actor in this movie, this would have been the most amazing thing to ever be in, because it just looked like the kids were just always having fun. Like, there were so many scenes where it's just the kids, like, not really doing plot stuff and just, like, futzing around. And this was one of them. I'm like, that's fun.
I'm gonna tell you this right now, though. I'm just gonna guess that, like, 97% of all people that live in Texas don't know how to rope people. Yeah. This is, like, kind of offensive to people from, like, Texas. So, Dwayne, take this rope and just get on and just pretend your friends are little piggies.
And you wear a big hat and you say yeehaw, pronounce Rodeo Drive as Rodeo Drive.
Oh,
can't read.
My God. And then they do country line dancing in their ice skates.
Oh, they fucking do. Oh, my God. I forgot about it. It's so real.
I just feel so real. Literally, the writers were like, we're just going to have fun and fun and fun and fun. And, like, imagine if we don't have to care about the plot. It's already B plot. We're just going to have fun and fun.
The script is only 4 pages, guys, so we're going to need some filler. Figure it out. Yep. Everybody can ad-lib. Let's do it. Dean, you going to give us a fart? All right. We like it. Throw it in there.
And then they're like, oh, yeah, we have to go back and start inserting this sponsorship plot. So we see the Wheaties box. Let's take a step back. If there is ever a Pee Wee Team USA Hockey on your Wheaties box, wow, because...
Not a good year for Wheaties.
I just think that Wheaties has a lot of other people. But at the same time, this is when, which we see even from the first movie, Charlie comes in with his moral compass and says,
yeah,
Gordon, I see those starry evil lawyer eyes back when you got your DUI and you're looking at this exciting money and we're the Ducks. Like, why are we USA? And I also was like, well, Charlie, I feel like you're not seeing the big picture, but I understand that you mentioned the USA Ducks, which I actually appreciated.
This is my notes for this part. I go, Charlie is mad that they have to wear a Team USA jersey while playing for Team USA. Because what? That is so weird.
And then don't worry, because in pure America fashion, we move to a classroom discussion where Fulton asks, has America always dominated?
Poor little Fulton. I just want to give him a little book that I read to him in the library. You know, he's just one of those people. You're like, Fulton, you poor little cherub. You just don't know.
They try to not, like, make too much of an opinion, right? They're like, well, America is like a teenager. And, you know, her language is so vague.
America is like a teenager.
She's like, you know, we're growing, but we're on the verge of greatness. I was like, Michelle McKay should literally run for office.
Yeah, I don't really understand what the lesson was about, and there were no books or tests or paper.
I don't know, but thank God, because we have a celebrity to come in and save it who is still entertaining us today. The only Kate
Keenan Thompson. Wow.
It was starting to get Dale, I'll be honest, like the writing. And Keenan Thompson comes in and makes it cool. And I hope they paid him all the money, because he was one of the best. He was like Averman. Like he literally stepped up like Averman did. And thank God he's here, because I was starting to get like sick of their like ridiculousness.
I think my favorite about that is like he's clearly so much younger than all of them at this point. Like he looked like he was 8 while these kids were now like 13, 14 year olds. So I was like, okay, he is always alone during these games. He's in every single game. And he's just talking to them. And it is so funny, because you're like, who the F is this little 7-year-old? Keenan Thompson. Good burger. My God.
Honestly, I don't know about you, but I was kind of taking a step back and being like, you know, in the first movie, you were like underdog, so everybody was mean to you, and you guys were actually really nice to all these teams. Yeah. But in this movie, you're kind of like cocky assholes, and you are crushing teams. Like, why do you need to win by like 9? I'm just like, why? And then we have Keenan Thompson that I kind of like is like cutting them back down to like size.
Because he's like, I'm a 7-year-old, and I know what's up. Compton.
Yeah, like, thank God was part of this film. So we then, I think, start to get into the tournament, right? Then they're playing the game.
Well, they play Trinidad, which it gave me a little Cool Runnings vibes, and I know that's racist, but I think the movie made it a little racist, because you're like, Trinidad definitely doesn't have an ice hockey team.
When Trinidad, like, scores a goal, there isn't, like, people playing the drums.
Oh,
like,
my God.
It was super racist.
It was steel drum, which, honestly, God. I'm like, we could use more of that in everyday life, but, like, here, okay, this is a lot happening.
Based on, though, 90s fashion coming back, I think if we found a Trinidad Mighty Ducks 2 jersey and sold it on eBay, we would make millions and millions of dollars. We'd make more money than Tibbles paying Gordon.
Well, speaking of Tibbles, don't worry, because the next scene is I'm assuming a press conference, and they were just talking about the game, and then that's when they were like, oh, what about Iceland? Don't you know about Iceland, Gordon? And then you hear, dun dun dun. And then they're like, everybody gets dark, and they all like look in the back corner, and it's the evil Iceland coach, like, so scary.
The way that Mighty Duck, the entire franchise, symbolizes evil people is by slicking their hair back, because like,
that is so true, because then later in the movie, when Gordon becomes a jerk, he has slicked hair. That is so true. Oh my God.
I do think there's something fun about like the Iceland team coming there, and they're like, you're not gonna win. I'm like, honestly, I kind of love that press conference, because
that's so scary.
He's like, fight me. Ugh. And then Gordon gets his soup up apartment on, like, again, this Pewyonky salary, where he's now in like $1 million apartment on the beach of LA. But having Gordon not be like near them in the dorms created scenes that then I fulfilled in my childhood sleepovers.
The nighttime pranks.
The nighttime pranks. You know, like, you would dance to music, like the Bash Brothers, Crazy All Night.
I love that.
And then, if you were really crushing it, you tried this epic scene, which was, in someone's hand, you put shaving cream, and then you took a feather or whatever to tickle their face to see if they would smack their face. From experience, Kate, they wake up right away.
You think? Jesus!
Nobody waits until you look like Mrs. Doubtfire with a full face.
Oh my God, he literally did. I was like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
But again, it was like, you know, the writers were like, listen, we kind of have a script, but like, why don't you guys just do whatever you feel, and we're going to film you for a minimum 10 minutes. Do something. Here we go.
They realize that they're like, okay, well, Gordon is now like slicking his hair back a little more, and we gave him like an evil apartment. We got to go like one step further. And that's starting to go to ice cream with the Iceland lady.
That's where Gordon starts to turning into a jerk. And it's like you said, Bridge, it is another montage. And I wrote that there is the perfect 90s R&B music playing during this montage, where he's like getting weird like photo shoots. And then he's like meeting weird people. And he meets Christy Yamaguchi. We're not worthy. My God. And then that's where we go to Rodeo Drive.
I was like, this is okay. We get it. Gordon's turned. Then the cherry on top for the kids is when he goes out for ice cream, right? Would you say?
Okay, but again, this scene is so funny because it's literally Fulton and Dean, Bash Brothers for life. They're literally like walking through, these girls, go talk to him. They're like, who are you talking to him? Like, okay, we'll talk to him. And they're like, hey, ladies. And the girls like roll their eyes and walk away. And then the guys are like, and then they high five each other. And I was like, is this my dog? Because he doesn't pick up on social cues.
Oh my
and
God.
He is just always looking on the bright side of life. Oh my God. What's going on?
I just realized I forgot a part as part of this montage. Goldberg pretends to be Aaron Spelling's son.
So iconic, Goldberg. My God.
But then I'm very creeped out because he says he's picking out an outfit for his mother, and the store just happens to have 3 supermodels ready to wear outfits that start flirting with children.
I literally wrote, I go, did that grown lady just wink at a 13-year-old? I gotta
Gross.
Go. Inappropriate movie. But thankfully, at least to cut it off before they do bikinis, because gross.
So gross.
Oh my God.
And basically, we then, this is the demise of when they play Iceland, right?
Yes, and I just want to point out one of the things, I just saw this, one of the things that, this might have been an Averman line, when Gordon walks in with his hair slicked back and he's wearing a suit and this is before they play Iceland, and he goes, "Nice jacket, did you get two pairs of pants with that?" It's so funny. I was like, this is great. This
he
is
does
so
a
good.
Follow-up, too, where he's like, "Nice hair, did you lose a bet?"
Averman, come on our podcast. Oh,
I dream of that, Averman.
Oh, boy. Okay, so Team Iceland versus Team USA. This is the first game, because there are two, and on my notes, it says that LOL at Bash Brother, which is Dean, getting thrown out 3 seconds into the game. Why did he get thrown out? I forget that.
So,
was it something with the ref?
So first, he actually was aggressive to, like, one of their players, and then the ref comes up behind him, and he, like your dog, was a spaz and hits the ref.
Without realizing it, and then he didn't understand because he's really big. Yeah, that's
here's where I don't think he's your dog, because as he gets mad in the locker room watching the game, he takes a chair and breaks it over his knee. Those steroids are kicking in.
Sometimes you're 18 posing as a 13-year-old, and you just gotta let it out somewhere when no one's looking, you know? Okay, but Kenan Thompson, don't worry, he's back at the game. Thank God, Kenan's here, he's making comments. And then, Kenny Wu gets destroyed.
Once again, Kenny Wu switching from figure skating to hockey. Where are his parents? I don't know if this is the right move.
No.
What takes the plot from a CD at this point, because it's like pretty weak, up to, I think, like a B, is they're like, okay, we gotta make them underdog. We can't have Team USA like crushing it the whole movie and then they like, go on to win, because nobody cares about winners that are always winners and winners and winners. It's kind of boring. So that's why I think they had to lose by like 12 goals to Iceland so they could go back to being an underdog. Simultaneously, why Gordon has sold his soul to the Gel Corporation and he's like back there.
Gordon has really crunchy hair now. Simultaneously, this is also the game where Banks, who literally is the only character in this entire franchise who gets pooped on all the time.
He gets crushed.
He literally did nothing. He's like not evil.
He just wants to play hockey.
He just wants to play hockey and he's literally getting the short end of the stick all the time. This is the game he gets hurt because an Icelander like slams his wrist and basically like, I don't know, sprains it or something, and then he's injured. And then that's a new subplot because we have to add things in or else this movie would be 20 minutes. Okay.
And Gordon then doubles down on his evil and makes the kids practice after getting beat.
That's pretty evil.
I had some PTSD from college. Oh, no. We might have had to do that after a game and run sprints.
That's horrible.
And all it does is make you hate your coach. It doesn't work. Coaches, are you listening? It's not a good tactic.
If you're a 29-year-old coach who was kicked out of your minor league professional team at 29, don't do it. Do something else. Listen to Charlie, because Charlie's like, yo, Gordon, this is bullshit.
Charlie's like, okay, listen, I'm going to have to go to therapy later in life because I've been made the dad because I have no dad.
Charlie should have already been in therapy, but fine, Charlie. Wait a couple years like the rest of us. Jeez.
All he does is constantly like remind Gordon of like a moral compass, and I don't understand why he looks up to this coach. He is literally coaching Gordon on life. Charlie is too young to do this.
But don't worry, because then we get to the best scene. The children are by themselves practicing, and they're in a park, and then Kenan Thompson's like, yo, Kenan Thompson, I'm back to bully you. And then he's like, let's do some schoolyard puck. Y'all can't take the schoolyard puck. And then they're like, oh, snap. Schoolyard puck time.
The best song ever comes out, Katie.
The best song. I wrote that.
You ready?
Party people.
Ooh. Tag team back again. Check kids and records are back again. Potty on, potty people. Let me hear some noise. DC's in the house. Jumpy joys. Instead of potty over here, a potty over there. Potty over here with your hands in Darien. These three girls are getting busy. Whoop. There it is.
Is this your Space Jam song because
I'm sorry, amazing. But I watched this over and over and over and I learned the words, which I probably still got wrong. Thank you for letting me edit all that out. I really had to just get there.
Don't worry, because literally after this scene, I go, this is an amazing soundtrack. And then I paused the movie and I immediately went on Spotify and found a playlist of all these songs and I added it to my Spotify. So
brilliant.
This is a good soundtrack. They do use music very well. And again, it's this scene is one of the body people. And it's so fun. You know what's fun about it too, though, is again, it's like the setup is okay. You guys think you're hot. We're like street kids. We're gonna do quote unquote schoolyard puck. So you're like, oh, it's gonna be like mean spirited and they're gonna get beaten down. But it's not like that. It's fun. And then the schoolyard kids are like, yo, let me teach you how to do like this. And Kenny Woo, this is how you beat up someone. And Fulton, here's a knuckle puck. And you're like, this is a great day. We made new friends here today.
I literally wrote, why do the Compton kids have to do more coaching than Gordon? They're not getting paid. They got to go back to their homes.
Yep.
Nobody's offering them the USA hockey slot. Come on.
It's a good metaphor for America. I literally wrote the same thing. Mm-hmm. I go, random street kid is a better coach than Gordon.
Same. Oh my God. I loved it. And at this scene, Gordon has gotten yelled at by Michelle McKay, but he had to get really yelled at by the one and only Jans.
Jans, not Hans. Yep. I go, Jans, hey friend. And then Jans also makes fun of his hair and suit. So good job.
Literally, Jans is like, Gordon, stop being an asshole. And then he just literally fades.
Literally what
he literally fades into the mist and goes like a bat and flies away.
Yep.
After this, I think this cuts the plot back down to a D-list movie, which is Gordon then, as he always does, because he gets a million shots in life, because Gordon gets everything handed to him, decides to be super late to a game that Michelle McKay has to pretend to be the coach, and Charlie, once again, the only adult in the room, has to say, I know, instead of us forfeiting, because we don't have our coach Gordon here, Miss Michelle McKay, would you please pretend to be our coach? The ref obviously has not been paying attention to all the endorsements.
Refs don't give a
She then pretends to be a coach.
This is where she goes, where's Coach Bombay?
This is when I like thought this is close to a Bob scene, where the game is already happening. She's already trying her best, which is aka Charlie coaching. And he comes in with a duck whistle.
F***ing duck whistle!
And never apologizes for being late.
He disrupts the game.
Somehow everyone's like letting him duck whistle everywhere. And then did you see what he did?
Did I f***ing see Bridge? I go, Gordon, I'm sorry. Please don't be kissing random ladies. Too much.
It was so gross. I was like, if a coworker ever kissed me on the cheek because they were late to like a meeting, I would literally be in HR's office like, listen, someone needs to handle Gordon. His hair is slicked back way too much and I can't take that kissing on the cheek.
Yep, that's the worst. And then immediately we go to Flying V! Because that's what we all want to see. And also, the Iceland coaches were at this game. And I was like, y'all already won. Like, take a chill pill. Jesus Christ.
Ridiculous.
These are aggressive.
Ridiculous.
And this is where there's like, again, this little subplot where Banks is like, my wrist is fine. Gordon's like, no, Banks, no. You're injured. I can't let you get injured anymore. You're going to have to sit out. And then Banks is like, wah. And then we don't care because Charlie recruits Keenan Thompson.
Oh my God. Charlie is like, you know how I always said I'd be a better father? I mean, coach than player. And I was like, Charlie, you need to go to therapy right now.
Freudian slip. Oh no.
You need to go to therapy right now. But seriously, I was like, thank God Keenan has put in the work.
He didn't audition. He didn't try out. He didn't do anything, but we don't care. And Gordon literally never sees him play until a game, but we don't care. And then Keenan goes, you never heard of my knuckle puck? Amazing.
I hope that Keenan introduces himself like that in real life.
Y'all never heard of my knuckle puck?
I literally hope that you're like, oh my God, are you Keenan Thompson? He's like, you ever heard of my knuckle puck?
It's amazing. And then there's another like fun skating montage. I don't know why, but we do it because it's fun. And then Gordon's like, hey guys, I have a fun idea. Let's play around with a beach ball. I'm not really sure what we're going to do with this beach ball on the ice. There's pointy skates on our feet, but it's fine. Don't f-ing worry. The Iceland coach literally busts in and he pops the beach ball.
This is like, I am the evil character. I popped the beach ball.
Yeah.
This leads to us not believing in Gordon's injury because he has the most intense game with the scary dentist dude.
And he wins. He like beats him too. So I'm kind of like, okay, so...
like, why can't you go back to playing hockey? Like, yeah, you're obviously healed.
Yeah, like that was weird. And then the guy, like, he hits his leg, which like, fine, but then he's never walking with a cane. Like, he never even talks about it again. So again, you're kind of like, so why did we have that scene? Like, we know he's evil. We know he's evil. We don't need another scene about him being evil. We could have skipped that whole part.
So bizarre.
Save the beach balls.
And then because we just have random subplots, somebody was like, oh crap, Adam Banks's contract says that he has to be in the final game. And we made up a wrist injury, so we had to get Keenan on the team because we don't know how to count. And oh god, this is terrible. What do we do? And then like, I know, this is the moment for Charlie to volunteer himself and officially give up childhood and be a coach.
Yep. Charlie was like, I've been waiting for this moment my whole life. So has Jans Hans. We've all been waiting for this moment for me to not play in the final game, which is arguably the most important, but no, it's fine. I swear, this is what I want. I swear. Oh god.
Okay, Kate, we are getting to the final game, and woo! I need to call up our special guest.
Wait, you want to wait till he comes up to give a proper introduction for our listeners?
I am going to pump him up while telling him to come in this
room.
Can
you play Party People and have him walk in? You just sing the song and have him walk up.
Hold on, let me open the door. I don't even think he knows where I am. Hold on.
You're literally the tag team back again. That's you, Party People!
We're our own Bash Brothers. I don't know where he is. Hey, Katie, look who's
Party
here.
People. Yo, what up? It's Katie.
Bridge, give an introduction for the listeners.
Listeners, this is the one only David Coleman.
So honored to be here.
We are going to link his IMBD page.
Close. DD, that was almost the right order of letters.
What is it called?
It's a BDIM.
Whatever it's called. And I think if you were in this movie, I think you'd be a good Charlie Conway.
Oof, that's so flattering.
You were probably the right age, too, I bet.
Definitely.
He was a little older than us, no? I looked up to them as like adults and teenagers, I think, when I saw it.
Oh my god. Listeners, Dave Coleman was the bartender when I turned 21 at the Hotel Chantel Holiday Inn.
Kate.
I don't remember anything.
Well, no, you know, you remember the one thing? Because this is when Dave cut us off.
I fell on my butt in the bar.
You sat on the chair, and the chair fell over, and then you fell over onto the ground. And Dave said, maybe you guys should get pizza. I'll meet you at home.
Listeners, Dave Coleman is a straight up, like, I honestly consider you as a famous actor, and I know you probably don't feel that way about yourself.
No, he is famous.
You have been in cool things.
Very cool things.
Yes!
And I am the worst that I can't, like, list all of them, but I say
you
Blue,
were in
Bloods
Blue Bloods
is one of the biggest ones. He was in an incredible, like, vodka commercial, which I think blew up.
Smirnoff.
Yes!
I'm huge in Canada.
I love Canada, so I'm gonna look it up right now. It's amazing.
And I feel like you've had like other parts, but I can't think of a movie or show that people would then hang on to. This is your moment to brag, because we have like a huge following.
Stop laughing at that, Bridget! We do, kind of.
You guys are blowing up right now. What was it? Oh, Five States of Fear. That was the NBC horror movie, I think.
Ooh!
Oh my god, I love horror movies!
Movie with the bees! With the bees, right?
Ticks, ticks. Yeah,
oh, close. The ticks.
Close. They're the bees of the ground.
Do you die in it or do you live?
I died. Yeah.
All right, I love that. Yeah. Not that I love that, but like I love horror movies, so I'm gonna
and
watch
there's
that.
There's another movie on Netflix, but I feel like you hated your character, so I won't say the name of it, but I watched your whole movie. Well, you were the personal coach.
Oh, Weekend Fix. No, I like Weekend
you
Fix.
You do like we Weekend Fix? Okay. Weekend Fix. He is the funniest personal trainer coach, and he wears spandex like I have never seen. That will make this blow up, Katie. We need to link that, too.
No, I don't think so. I think it'll detract, but it's a good movie. It is. It was made by an angry guy.
You were with Graham Greene, who Dances with Wolves.
That's right.
And other stuff, because he's an Native American actor. Yes.
Okay. Also, while our family introduced us to B-list movies, thanks to Dad, Dave introduced me to good movies, to like A-plus movies. And when I lived with him, he laid out movies for me to watch because he was training me for this moment.
For this moment.
For D2, the Mighty Ducks moment.
For the moment we review Mighty Ducks in our nostalgic podcast.
Oh, I love that.
Well, Bridget said to me, she was like, do you want to do this movie podcast? Maybe tomorrow you could pick a movie we watch. And I was like, no, I want to do Mighty Ducks too. Like, I love Mighty Ducks too. Like, this movie's masterful.
And Dave,
it is so good.
I just want to tell you that I maybe didn't hype this up enough, but this is our 1 year anniversary episode.
We did this for one whole year
of Katie editing this podcast.
Katie, I hear you are the heart and soul of this podcast.
She is. So what you are looking at on my screen that Katie doesn't know is all of my notes, and all of these highlighted notes are the final game.
Oh, yeah, we're at the final game.
Do you see the scrolling?
That's a lot of notes.
Yeah, I have a lot too, actually. This is the final game against Iceland, and they already got their butts kicked by Iceland and hashtag embarrassing, and now we're trying again.
Right.
So that's where we are.
I'm thinking you should just call out your memory of your favorite things. And your unique way of looking at things, because in addition to acting, you also like direct and do all these other things. So you have a very creative brain. So I want to know what you remember.
I love that.
He's so talented, people.
Man. I'm so wonderful.
Dave, direct a podcast version of our show. Or wait, opposite. Direct a show version of our podcast.
We do have some good movie ideas.
Write it, direct it, find everyone to do it, and fund it. So it's easy, right?
That's
easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we're at the final game, and we're playing Iceland, because that's how they cheer.
Right.
They're the worst.
Dave, what is your memory about this final game?
So if I remember correctly, the first game is lost to Iceland because Gordon Bombay. True or false?
Whoa, hot take. That's a hot take.
Absolutely true, and we have learned in this episode that the more evil Gordon gets, the slicker his hair gets. Right. And that was at peak slickness. Right.
And he looks like Wolf. Like, Wolf has that hair.
Yes!
Coach Wolf and him have the same cut. Really questionable, this blonde gal he goes out with. Like, she's a 00 agent. Is Pee Wee Hockey this serious, that you have a 00 agent?
I don't know, but seems intense.
Yeah, like she suddenly turns evil after that, when they have the one-on-one. Am I wrong?
No, you're 100% right. And
we
honestly,
don't talk about that, Kate. We forgot to mention that.
But they bring that up because they're like, in the first game, they lose. And they're like, it's like they knew all our moves. And I'm like, you don't have that many moves? So like, we all know your moves.
Yeah, everyone knows
like,
the flying
sure.
move.
But they blamed it on the Iceland lady. They're like, she knew all our moves because like, you told her on your date or something dumb. And I'm like,
wow.
I don't think that needed to be a plot thread.
All I learned from their date was Iceland is green and Greenland is ice. Yes. And that was my America lesson. So you call that out.
So Gordon Bombay loses the first game for them because he's so, you know, he's Mr. Big Shot.
Yeah, he sucks.
And then they get all together. They learn street hockey. And then this final game, they are like, they're off their meds. Like, he's using his rope. Dwayne uses the rope to get.
Yes! This is where the lasso comes in.
Yes. The Bass Brothers get a third Bass Brother.
Kenny Woo Woo Woo! Kenny Woo! Sorry, I already got to say that. I couldn't wait to say it again.
A great quote.
There's a lot of good stuff in here.
Right.
Literally, this turned into, direct quote from Gordon, a circus.
A circus, that's right. This is a circus. And they're all really happy. Like, those kids probably could have done a second quarter getting even crazier. Or, sorry, third period, even more nuts.
They didn't want to win. They just wanted to have fun, which, by the way, is the Mighty Ducks lesson.
that's what he's teaching them.
So Gordon,
well,
what did he say? You guys don't have pride.
Yeah, he talks about pride.
I mean, that speech really still. This is the thing about Mighty Ducks that blows my mind, and why I think it's the apex of sports movies.
Okay, keep going.
There's so many sports movies from this era, right? Like they don't make it like the Sandlot and Little Giants. Somehow, Mighty Ducks to me is so much more grounded. Like it's ridiculous that Dwayne got on the ice and used his rope. Yet when Gordon Bombay starts naming all the states, like all the players be like, Bangor, Maine. Like every time I still choke up, and I don't find it cheesy. That's what's amazing about this series, that you're still like, you believe in the reality of them winning and losing.
100%. And yeah. I have not realized my obsession with this scene because I've quoted it for a year.
There's been minimum like 5 podcast episodes where Bridget will start quoting that and she'll be like, oh, I'm sorry, that's from Mighty Ducks too.
I literally have been like, it's like the movie where they're like, Gordon Bombay, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And then the next one stands up and Katie's like, that is the fifth time you have mentioned that quote, but now we're here.
We're here, we've
arrived. Oh, it's so good.
It's so powerful. It is good. It's like, so what's amazing is it's so American. It's like, look at all these kids from all different kind of backgrounds in America. Mm-hmm. Now let's throw away the USA jersey and bring on this obscure peewee hockey jersey for the sake.
Oh my God. And the announcers are like, there's no rule. You can't change jersey. I'm like, I feel like there should be a rule, but it's fine.
Dave
it's
may
fine.
Not know the intricacy of Hans Jans.
Because, yes. Oh my God.
Hans does not come back for this movie. His brother Jans comes back for this movie. You don't know this because it wouldn't matter.
Literally, because in your brain you were like, it looks like Hans and he acts like Hans and he sounds like Hans, so we're gonna remember him as Hans.
The character is different, but slightly. Like,
it's
like
his brother.
Literally, so stupid. But in the first one, Hans has all of these hockey rules that are like out of control. And I'm pretty convinced that Jans was the one that was like, we could wear this uniform because in section 5 of page 229, there are no pee-pee hockey rules of changing uniform.
The jerseys they wear in this movie are different than the jerseys from the first movie. Right, this is like the jersey you remember. You remember this logo where it's like it looks like a hockey mask, but it's a duck. And like the one from the first movie was just like a straight up duck, which is like kind of lame. Yeah. So thank God we didn't do that again.
And we saw the word mighty, because in the first movie, fun fact, they literally only say the word mighty once. And now they're like, we gotta get that on a hockey jersey.
Hans Jans is like, I've been working for a year to make this. It's all coming together.
Hans Jans. You've made him one man.
He is one man.
Wait. Okay, I want to know, in the chaos of final game, what is your favorite moment? Because obviously the speeches have spoken to you and hit and tickled your heartstring. So
can it be post game or has to be in the game?
Anything you want.
Okay, my favorite thing post game is, first of all the Icelanders have like Russian accents.
Yes!
I love it. Well, apparently the writer wanted them to be Russian, and then Russia was like in a bad place, and they're like, no, they're not strong enough. So Iceland doesn't even like qualify for junior peewee hockey. Like, they're one of actually all the teams they play are like terrible.
They play Trinidad.
The first fun fact comes from our guest, Dave.
So Iceland's so random, but also the accents. And when Gunnar says to Charlie, he's like, good work, Captain Duck. Like, get the. Good work, Captain Duck. And how moving is it when he's like, let's go shake their hands? They're like, yes, let's.
Okay, also we have to call out, and Dave, you may not remember this, that Dwayne Robinson has a crush on Connie and ropes someone and then gets 2 minutes for roping.
And they said, 2 minutes for roping? Never seen that before. And I was like, I hope we never see this again. And literally, like, you should have got more time because, like, what are we doing? There's, like, multiple penalties happening in this one scene.
I was going to say, there's so many penalties. You got to wonder how Iceland didn't go up 20-0.
Don't
the Bash Brothers go in with Kenny Wu? Kenny Wu becomes the third Bash Brother. So you have three people
he did.
Out.
Kenny Wu beats up a guy, and then he only gets, like, 2 minutes, and everyone's like, yay! Awesome.
That's 2 minutes of gold. So Iceland should have gone up by 10. And then Connie and Dwayne go in.
Yep.
You had multiple times where Iceland, the best team in the world, somehow didn't advance in points.
This is also, and Dave and I talked about this before, where the most epic Little Giants trick play happens.
My God. I'm so glad you said that, because I literally wrote, I go, yo, Charlie is trying to get them to do the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Well, wait, in two scenes. One, when Dwayne, like, flips the puck and they do that crazy thing. But then,
oh my God,
literally Goldberg and Kenan Thompson switch jerseys. And somehow Kenan Thompson and Goldberg get naked in the ice.
Nobody sees it. Right. It's totally realistic and normal. It totally happens normal. All the time.
And the best part is Kenan needs to take his helmet off to let you know it's Kenan. It's like, why did you take off your helmet?
That's
it's
a good call.
It's like, they did this amazing trick and now you're like, gotcha.
Also, the first time Kenan was too slow, which is why they're like, we have to fool them. And then he takes 9 million years to skate up in his goalie pads, take off his helmet and be like, it's knucklepuck time.
And then Wolf, he's like, Wolf screams, he's like, it's the goalie.
No, I literally have it. He goes, no. Oh my God.
It's amazing.
So good. And despite the realistic aspects, they somehow tie.
But that's what I'm saying about this movie that is so strange, is that that doesn't take me out of it. I'm like, you can't switch jerseys. I'm sure that's illegal.
You can't change your pads on the ice and get naked in front of a crowd of people when you're a preteen boy.
Or Iceland, who's right there, who might see it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
No. Right.
But I accept all of that and still love it. And I'm still like, got him.
I know.
But they do a good job at the end, because it could have been just like literally a rewrite of the first movie's ending, and they didn't. They changed it, which I liked, because it wasn't about the shooting part, it was about the goalie part. Because this is where they were like, oh yeah, we brought in that girl goalie that we literally didn't use at all. I guess we'll throw her in here at the end to like make up for it. Yay, gender representation.
I left my team in Maine to show the world what I could do. Don't worry, Julie, you're gonna get 1 second on the ice.
1 second, Julie. Good luck with that. Also,
here's the thing about that last scene. So we're all pumped that she catches it, but confused why the rest of the world doesn't know it's in her hand, because the goal didn't go off and she's just holding it and we're all like, so it's in the hand, but we don't react until she pops it out. Right. Which,
you don't get a dramatic 5 second pause to present
that. Which, how cool would that be?
Yeah.
It's just amazing. And then we all lose it. We take the flag and we're running around.
Can we do honorable mention for the theme song too? Like, this theme song is incredible. I put it up there with like John Williams, Indiana Jones, Back to the Future. Like, it's a really good, you hear it and you get
sing,
your arms.
Sing it. Get there. Give us a feel. For the people that don't know. No. Give us a feel. I paid my dues. Okay. Time after time.
We talked about that. This soundtrack is so good.
Katie already downloaded it on Spotify because she liked it.
Downloaded it on Spotify. I was like, I need to look this up right now. Right when they said, party people! I was like, here we go.
And then a rap tag team.
She knows the lyrics.
Great
music, so.
We will rock you in a second.
Oh my God.
We will quack you.
Yo, is that what they say?
They say quack you.
In the stadium, it literally spells out, we will quack you. As if like, fuck you, Iceland. We are not on your team.
No, they're not.
We are very biased. No, here we are.
And then we end like, I'm just going to say, every Pee Wee Olympic USA hockey around a campfire.
That's where we all end up, right?
And saying we are the champions.
But Averman starts it because he's cool. So thank you, Averman. He's so cool. Where are you, Averman?
Averman's great. I mean, they're all really good.
They're so good.
What about Banks? Banks is a fascinating character.
Oh my God. Okay, so we talk about...
He's in the game. Whatever.
We talk about how Banks got shafted this whole...
whole series. The whole series.
Because he keeps getting injuries and he's the best on the team and he's literally never, ever doing anything wrong. He's on like Charlie Conway moral compass ground.
Right. Yeah,
and he just wants to play hockey and get scouted and everyone keeps beating him up.
It's interesting too because he's like considered, they call him preppy, right?
The rich kid.
Yeah, they're all like kind of
rich
city kids.
Rich kid.
Remember the third one?
Oh my God. We do not talk of it.
Wait, but you know, you hate it?
I
don't hate the third one.
Okay, giving you the look.
Hot take!
I enjoy the third one, but Banks is like, the real issue is he goes varsity and they're all JV. And I always thought that was a good storyline. and utilizing that character, which is like such a cool addition to that team.
Yep.
I don't remember anything from the third movie at all. I couldn't tell you one thing about it.
Nothing.
At all. Nothing gets in my brain about it.
Kate, I think we hit every possible thing.
Oh my god, what a time.
Okay, Dave, is there anything else you'd like to add about the Mighty Ducks 2 in our epic year anniversary?
So awesome. And man, I'm a fan. I've got it on my list of podcasts. It's like this and rewatchables. Yeah.
Whoa. There's not a lot of female podcasters who do movies. So that's like so appreciated to hear.
Oh, so cool.
So Dave, at this point, it's my turn to pick the next movie.
Oh.
And Katie sent me a list of all of her movies that includes like 300 movies on here.
You're going to pick it right now.
But I did put them in genres so we can kind of, you know.
You did. Up. And because Dave is here, I want to put him on the spot to pick one.
Oh my god.
I do have one highlighted, but I don't know. Like, I'm kind of like here. Right? That one?
That's a good one. That's a good follow up. It's because you guys are hitting movies that I think are significant that no one's going to talk about.
Okay, Kate. This is from 1992.
Woo! I love the 90s.
This is an American martial arts comedy.
Oh, okay. That was on my list?
Yes. It has a familial piece to it.
Oh, Jesus.
And I would argue I relate to one of the characters named Tum Tum. This is the one, the only Three Ninjas!
Light up the eyes, boys!
Oh. Picked from Dave Coleman.
Wait, and we definitely have referenced Three Ninjas on this podcast because we sang the song Rocky Loves Emily. We sang that during the Rocky episode. We were like, that's not from Rocky. Never mind. That's from Three Ninjas. It's a children's movie. That's a 90s children's movie. Never mind.
So that's going to be amazing.
Wow.
And I definitely had some crushes on Rocky and Colt.
I mean, they were cool.
I mean, and...
Not Tum Tum, though. He was like a 5-year-old.
Tum Tum, I feel you. I'm always hungry. Why are we running? Like, I understand.
I have
memories
of being with like three guy friends and we would play Three Ninjas and it would always be a fight about who was Tum Tum.
It's always like
someone had to be Tum Tum.
Tum Tum was the best.
But now as we get older.
It was cool.
Yeah, now I'd want
it. We like Tum Tum.
Okay. Well, Kate. Dave, this is how we end it. So if you could just naturally follow along or we'll really check if you actually listen to this podcast. But Kate. I just want to tell you, I love you as much as Averman loves nailing one-liners.
Wow, that's a lot of love.
Yeah.
Well, and Bridge, I just want to say, I love you so much that if you owned a Willy Wonka-like skate shop and you made your whole life running this skate shop and mentoring Gordon Bombay and you wanted to go back to Germany and you wanted me, your sister, who has the same name with one different letter, to take over your factory and then follow up with the plot line, I would say, no, that's really dumb. Just keep doing what you're doing because I love you.
Oh, that's long but sweet. Thank you, Kate. Thank you. Yes. Dave?
And I'd like to say thank you guys for having me on. And I love you guys for doing that. And it won't go to my head. And I won't become an evil version of myself.
Mr. Dave Big is Shot. Not going to get hair gel.
Mr. That's Big right. Star?
I'm not going to get ice cream with a rivaling female podcast about movies.
Thank God, Dave.
Yeah, I'm gonna see it through to the end, and we're gonna win this game.
Ducks!
Go
Ducks! Thank God you're here.
Penny, so
well, I think that's that, folks.
Bridget, I actually, because it is our 1 year, Dad didn't really have much to say about this movie. However, he did have a little message he wanted to give us for our 1 year. So Bridget just shared it with you.
Oh my God,
why
Dave.
Don't you open that up and let's hear what our dad has to say doing this for an entire year.
You get to hear
year.
My dad's ridiculous accent live. Okay, Kate, I'm gonna start it right now. All right, I got Dad here. Say hello.
Hello.
And it's actually Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to Dad. But I am asking him if he would like to say anything about our 1 year anniversary. Anything you'd like to say?
Yes. Aww. Congratulations on your 1 year anniversary.
Woo!
I think that's great. And in tribute to all your fans that you've accumulated so far, we should give them another little taste of Lake Placid.
What? How do we do that?
Replay it a little bit.
Oh.
And if the people out there can't tell yet that Dad's from Brooklyn, we should do a little bit from Rocky. And you better watch it or I'll break your thumbs too.
Okay. Thanks, Dad.
Wow, Dad. Wow.
Oh, boy. And listeners, if you also love our dad's funny accent that he doesn't think he has, but he does have from Brooklyn, you should write us a review.
Oh.
We love reviews. We love written reviews. You can review us on Apple Podcasts. And we also have a website, sisterswhoseenit.com. If you go to our website, you can scroll down on the main page. And we do have a form you can fill out to request a movie. And now that we've been past our 1 year episode, Ooh. We do have a list of movies we are going to be diving into. So you can add yourself to that list and we will do it. We have a list ready to go. So we're going to start that up soon. And Bridge, what else can they do on our website?
They can donate money to buy coffee that we might buy other things with. It's a Ko-Fi
Woo!
Site. Cha-ching, send us that moolah so we could be going in Bombay with that Hendrix contract.
We promise we will not buy hair gel with your money. We swear we will not go down that character arc. But I do want to give a shout out because we did recently have a donation on our Ko-Fi site from one of my, I'm going to call him a boss because he's kind of like a boss, but he is a friend. His name is Mr. Andrew Wright. Thank you, Mr. Wright, who I teach drumline with in the winter. At
Mr.
Southern
Wright.
Regional. He donated some coffee to us and he said that he actually loved our first Mighty Ducks episode and he loved our Space Jam. So, Mr. Wright, I hope we did justice to Mighty Ducks 2
wow.
for you. And thank you so much for your donation. It's very
oh,
much
Mr.
appreciated.
Mr. Wright, you're
so,
the best.
Yeah, so listeners, that could be you. If you decide to give us a donation, you will get a shout out on the air. Your voice will be on the air forever and always. I will never edit it out. Ever.
And Kate, a big thanks to the one and only Dave Coleman.
Oh, wow. Oh my oh, wow. God. Clap it up.
Clap it up.
We're not kidding. Like, Dave is a celebrity.
He
says he's not a celebrity, but, like, he definitely
he
is.
Totally
and,
is.
Like, one day he's going to beat the Oscars, and me and Bridget will be like, we had him on our podcast.
We're gonna replay this podcast so much, which is kind of awesome because Mighty Ducks is awesome. So,
yes, exactly.
So, everything is amazing.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you
for coming on.
No, of course. Invite me back. Mighty Ducks 3.
Woo!
Give it a shot. You never know.
All right. So, Dave, that'll be your recommendation. We'll add it to our list.
Boom.
All right.
We'll see you all for Three Ninjas.
Woo.
And I
Three
will
ninjas.
Be Tum Tum.
And I will be the grandpa, which I think his name is just Grandpa, maybe. I'm not sure.
For the lamest character.
He's an Asian grandpa while everyone else is white. It's totally normal, everyone. Don't worry about it.
We'll probably have to address that next
okay.
week. Okay, bye-bye, everybody. We love you.
Bye,
bye-bye.
Guys.
Bye-bye. Love
bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Sisters Who Seen It. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Check out our website at sisterswhoseenit.com, where you can email us, request movies to be reviewed, and keep up to date with all things sisters. Also, make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. See you next week.